Ursula Franklin.
Some of you probably know that I didn't want to be here, not only because I've been physically quite sick, but also because I've done this far too much and far too often, and I know far too many of you. But what brought me here was the framing of the question that my friend John Vallow asked me to speak to. How should Canada address and respond to the issues of war and terrorism? We talk about the how. We talk about the means. And that brings me out because however often I've said it, however often any one of you have said, nothing can sway us from the fact that the means determine the end. You do not get peace through war. You get not justice through unjust means. Period. And all that we and people like us have tried to do is to strengthen the instruments of justice through the United Nations, through the NGOs, through understanding among people, but also through the knowledge that there is such a thing as economic justice, that there is a just and sustainable life on this planet, but most of all, through our knowledge that justice is indivisible. Just as peace is indivisible. If we do believe in justice, then we have to accept the fact there will be justice for all or for none. The protection that we have will be extended to all the people we can't stand. If we can speak, we buy that right, also allow those with whom we disagree to speak. If we can breathe clean air, we guarantee and stand for the right of all to breathe clean air. Peace and justice are indivisible, and for that reason, they are so awfully difficult to obtain. Our friend Eileen Carroll just said that the government is attempting to provide security for us, and that the legislators are working to do so. We may want to ask ourselves, have we in Parliament, in fact, been asked about the increased insecurity that against which we now seem to have to defend ourselves? The need for security is paralleled, and as many of us feel, caused by the activities that produced increased insecurity. Now, the sadness is that the government of Canada has not put, for instance, the free trade agreement to a vote, nor was MAI, and nor did the House of Commons actually sit when Canadian troops were committed to active duty in foreign parts. Now, I cannot think of a case in Canadian history when our elected representatives were away on vacation and Canadian troops were committed to action overseas. So I think we have to talk on to how should Canada respond. And I would think, number one, we have to look at means. Canada has to respond democratically, using the institutions we have, from Parliament to the United Nations. Canada has to respond legally, and I do think that Mr. Mandel has a point in term, as Douglas, a point that Senator Douglas Roach made equally firmly, that what is going on is far beyond the legal obligations of Article 5. But most of all, I want to say that the means that Canada uses to respond to terrorism have to be means that we too, as citizens, are legally free to use. And that, in and of itself, I think, prescribes the how. We, I think, most of all, are able and willing to act as responsible and law-abiding citizens. There is, however, in law, as well as in our collective knowledge, something that we call the doctrine of legitimate expectations. That holds particularly for parties of unequal power. When you get into an understanding, a treaty, an agreement, and citizenship, in my view, is an agreement, is a contract, a civil contract between those who are governed and those who are asked to be instruments of governance. Then there's a legitimate expectation that each are governed by the same standards. I do not, as a companion of the Order of Canada, cherish the thought that my government is less law-abiding than I am. If I don't pay my taxes, I bear the consequences. When, on the other hand, my country does not abide by international laws. And that is not just this case of war and terrorism. There are a good deal of international conventions that Canada ratified, and my friend Lois Wilson and I know that very well on other fields, that Canada has not translated into basic law. Then I get shirty. When my government proclaims what is done for the welfare of the citizen, and I know full well it is done for the welfare of business, then I get shirty. And I say, why should I be law-abiding when they are not? And that begins to be pretty questionable. I don't want to live in a country where people cheat each other, where people look at each other as if they are terrorists, whatever that may mean. But I want to live in a country in which one assumes collaboration. Now, you can say, well, that's all good and nice, but you can't collaborate with terrorists. And I hear an awful lot of that stuff these days. People seem to have forgotten the example of South Africa. We seem to have forgotten what happens when one uses slowly and tediously the available instruments. Some of you may have sat in this room on the arguments of divestment when some of us argued with the University of Toronto, you cannot make profit from investments in South Africa. And eventually, a majority government was installed in Pretoria without war, without anybody, killing innocent people, not that that fight had not produced terror, but it had produced a collective international response with the consent of those who were subject to oppression that is exemplary. So there are other means. We as Canadians cannot be ignorant, nor can we ask our government or those who give the government advice to ignore those means. There are other means. And I want just to conclude with one reminder that indeed bridges the gap from the time when some of us were active against the war in Vietnam. At that time, and earlier and later, it seems as if we were received when we went to Ottawa with the sort of thing, yes, there are all these nice people who worry about children and peace and the environment and other women and cats and dogs. And then there are us hard-nosed realists who really know how the world is run. Now, here we are in 2001, and you cannot tell me that somebody designed this world to be like this, polluted, toxic, full of hate and unemployment, driving people to insane sacrifices of their lives because there is nothing else they see ahead of them. It were those hard-nosed realists who created the problems we have to cope with. And I say, I say the time has come, if it's not already much overdue, to recognize that not only is violence lethal and the military inappropriate, but the system is dysfunctional. Nothing will work except justice. And we might as well stop the nonsense and try to start it. It's difficult enough. But as Canadians, I would suggest no means are acceptable to us except means of justice. And we begin by clarity, asking clarity of ourselves, what do we accept? Asking clarity of our government, what do they actually mean? Are we at war? are those detained under those terrorism laws prisoners of war who ought to be visited by the International Red Cross? We would like some facts, because terrorism has, after all, been around for some time. The French have dealt with Algeria. The Irish have dealt with terrorism when Bush was still at school, if he ever was at school. So there are responses. But I do think for us as Canadians, there are two ways in which I see us to respond to the question, how should Canada now act in the face of terrorism and war? Legally, peacefully, openly, and reciprocally. Thank you.